From a street called Straight in Damascus, Syria, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, herpetologist, referee and insurance magnate, the former trainer for the Swedish Women's Olympic Alligator Wrestling Team, the man that People Magazine named as America's sexiest insurance agent of 1993, Gregory J. Ringhausen. And author, scientist, historian, songwriter, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers. A man who once threw a baseball 37 miles per hour, the eldest of the Ringhausen brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, marksman, daredevil, sculptor, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who can swing a 20-pound sledgehammer, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers in the Star of Your Show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Ah, Kia.
And did you see what we got back?
I know. I thought Greg was dead.
Oh, I am dead. I just came back to haunt you guys.
It's, you know, almost
Greg Ringhausen.
Yeah.
We refer to you as the late Greg Ringhausen in a lot of the episodes.
A lot of these things are true.
Well, you've been late for the show a lot.
Yeah, accuse me of that too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how y'all boys been?
You've been about 6 months late.
Well, that's the story of my life.
I've been pretty good.
Good. Alan, still alive, I guess.
Great.
All right.
Here's a question I've got. This is before we discuss anything else. Did you hear, like, you remember back when we had a Pope Francis instead of Pope Leo, right?
Right.
Well, Pope Francis, they asked him whether you'd have your dog in heaven. And he says, well, yeah, you know, you can probably have your dog in heaven. He didn't see why you wouldn't be a dog in heaven. My question is, you know, I've had, I figure, at least six dogs over the years. Does that mean, like, in heaven, I'm going to be followed around by a whole pack of dogs? You know, that everyone...
I'm going to tell you something, Rick. I've got a neighbor that's got seven dogs. So I'm sure they'll be having a lot of fun up there when they go to heaven or wherever they are.
I mean, just think about it. I mean, every person up there going to have, like, a pack of dogs following them around?
They're doing it on the earth. So I don't know why not in heaven.
Well, I hope they clean up after them, is all I can say. Or do heavenly dogs not?
Well, I have to listen to them.
Heavenly dogs not make a mess.
Then they got a neighbor dog that just comes out and eggs them all on.
Well, there was one of those gospels, it might have been this week, where they asked Jesus, you know, a woman marries seven different guys in a row and they all die one after another. Who's she married to in heaven?
That's a good question. I didn't know if she'd get to heaven. Seven guys.
Yeah, but no, they died. She didn't divorce anybody.
She just married
the brothers one after another.
That brings up the question, did she have any involvement in the death of these gentlemen?
Be like if Lisa, if you croak and then... And then
Lisa
marries Bruce and then marries Tim, you know.
Well, I can see that marriage, Bruce and Lisa together.
Who's she going to be with in heaven? Which one of the three of you?
Bruce can have her. No, I'm just kidding.
So I assume it's that same way with dogs. You don't have to pick a favorite if you're in heaven. You just hang out with all of them.
I'm sure. They're well-behaved in heaven. They don't bark.
I don't think that's Catholic theology at all. That dogs don't bark in heaven.
What do you see yourself as in heaven?
What'd you say?
That's the first point I get there.
According to Mark Twain, he says that when you go to heaven, you pick whatever age you want, that there's no reason to have to be like a 65-year-old man. But he says that, again, being the theologist that Mark Twain was.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah.
That most people will try out being in their 20s again, but after a while, if you die and you go up there, and what are you, Greg, like 75? So
80.
That you would then turn around and eventually just go back to being 75, because that's what you got used to at the end.
No problem. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I feel like I'm 24 right now. So I think that's the age I want to be.
You look 24.
I was thinking that, too.
I feel it.
Yeah, you feel it, all right.
Hey, during that intro, it said you swing a 20-pound sledge. Can you swing a 20-pound sledge still?
I could crush your skull with one.
You knew that was coming right at you, Rick. You'd, right between the eyes.
You'd have to be able to swing it pretty high. I don't know if you could get a 20-pound sledge up in the air like that anymore, can you?
He gets you while you're asleep.
There you go. Perfect. Good thinking, Greg.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you've been thinking about how to kill Rick.
Well, I think, no, you give me the inspiration with the thought.
You know,
then we work it from there.
Thing about swinging a sledge is that, you know, you're always driving something into the ground, and that someone has the job of holding whatever's getting drug into the ground. Like, my question being, if Bruce is swinging a sledge, would you hold the stake for him? Would you trust him to hit the mark each time?
Depends on what time of day it was.
Yeah, all right. What about you,
Alan? How many beers he's had in
the day? I was watching a guy swing a sledge. Let's see, what is today? Is Wednesday? That was yesterday. I was watching this guy.
Perfect.
They used to be a marine, but now there's just a boat ramp there. They replaced the surface on the boat ramp where it goes out into the water.
Yeah.
And to do that, they poured a 40-by-40-foot slab of concrete that was 8 inches thick, and
wow,
they put it up on dry ground. And then they took two bulldozers and pushed it out into the water and pinned this new slab to the old ramp.
Well, that's impressive. How'd they do that?
It was a darn amazing thing. What they did is they framed it up. But before they framed it up, they put down a whole bunch of sand and a sheet of plastic. And then they framed this 40-by-40 slab of concrete up on dry ground, and it slid across the surface of the plastic and sand out into the water. And then they took these steel pins that they drilled holes through the new concrete and into the old concrete to pin the new ramp into place.
Wow,
and they used
amazing
rebar and a sledgehammer to do it.
Huh. Interesting.
Hey, let me go back to my question, because you didn't really answer it. Which of the brothers, or Greg or his brothers, would you trust to swing the 20-pound sledge if you were holding the chisel?
Well, obviously not you. I'm going to have to go with Dennis.
Not Brad.
I would choose Dennis. No, not Brad. If I was one of your brothers, it would be Dennis.
Tim?
Probably. No, Bruce would be
the guy. You know, honest to God.
Bruce is the one that has the talent.
I understand that Bruce enjoys his beverages once in a while, but I would think that Bruce, having done physical labor his whole life, I would trust Bruce to swing the sledgehammer if I was
holding
the chisel.
He's swung a sledgehammer or a hammer pretty good, so he's got the talent to hit that peg pretty easy, I'd say. But I love watching those guys on movies when they hit those spikes, one on each side of each other.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
That is impressive.
Didn't John Henry do that? Wasn't he the steel-driving man?
I think so. He's a big guy.
I had on my list of something I wanted to discuss. I was out in the city of Cleveland.
Why?
Well, I went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I got a text from you while you were out there.
Exactly. I sent you the Cher costumes.
Yeah. And I text back, said, yeah, I saw those, but unfortunately, there are two guys sitting in front of me that were wearing them.
Yeah.
All right, Cleveland.
Okay, so I'm in Cleveland, and they got a big convention going on and stuff.
In Cleveland?
Yeah. If you're down by the riverfront, they have the big stadium, they have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they have a big, giant convention center.
Lakefront?
You walk two blocks in any direction beyond those three features.
There's nothing.
You don't want to be there anymore.
No.
But down in that popular area, one day I step out of the convention center and there's, you know, lots of traffic, but they have a traffic cop on duty during all the daylight hours, and he's a dancing cop.
Oh, boy.
Like a good dancing cop, you know? So I'm watching this dude, you know, and he's, you know, people are crossing the street, giving the high five, you know, as he's dancing, doing his routine. And then another cop comes working his way out into the street that's an even better dancer. It was blowing my mind. It made me want to start dancing.
Would you go up and join him?
I didn't, of course, but
you can do the floss pretty good.
In my mind, I thought that.
You know, I think that every county should have a dancing cop.
I do too.
That would be a good thing if I were running for sheriff in a county.
That you'd have be able to go out and dance.
Yeah, I could do it if I had to. I mean, I was in a rock band. I had the moves.
Okay.
I've seen you play. You stand there like a statue.
No. Thank you, Rick. You're pretty stiff, Rick.
Hey, anyway. Allie. Hey, Allie.
Yeah.
Didn't you go to Buffalo on that same trip?
I did go to Buffalo.
Did you, by chance, go over the falls in the barrel?
I did not go over the falls in the barrel. You know who the first person to go over the falls in the barrel was? It was a woman.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And she survived.
And she survived. She did it as a stunt to raise money for her retirement. She's like 65 years old when she did it. She's old. And
Wait a minute. I don't call that old.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how your perspective changes, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, she hired a promoter to promote her going over the falls in a barrel so she could raise a bunch of money. And the promoter ended up ripping her off, and she died penniless. And
are you kidding me?
With all the money. No.
And they buried her in a barrel.
That was in like 1903.
Wow.
The falls are a fantastic natural phenomenon surrounded by
the tackiest stuff you've ever seen in your life.
Well, it goes back to the 50s and 40s, doesn't it? When everybody went there for their honeymoon and everything.
Yeah. I mean, there's just touristy stuff all over. Although my daughters, Jackie and Kristen, who went to Israel on a convention a few years ago, they went to Bethlehem, to the church where they've got a church built over the spot where Jesus was born, supposedly. And they said it's just crammed with touristy like mementos and people selling stuff that there's no way you can meditate on the thought of a God being born on earth when there's people like trying to hawk stuff to you constantly.
I thought Jesus threw a fit and kicked them all out.
That's what I was going to ask. You know, I thought he'd come back or somebody be throwing over tables there.
Yeah, he was a baby there in Bethlehem. He didn't raise hell there.
I know, but he'd come back and do it.
She said that Jesus needs to come back to Jerusalem too, because they're selling a bunch of stuff there also.
Mark Twain,
you never know.
That too. I'm complaining about religious artifacts.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Twain being a renowned, at least agnostic and probably atheist, to be getting your theology from Mark Twain is probably questionable.
And cantankerous old.
Yeah, and he got worse as he got older, just like Greg.
Hey.
Getting back to the
Cleveland
top in every town, at very least every county, there is a video out there that's gone viral. You can Google it, and it's the Dancing Park Ranger. Dancing Park Ranger. Google it, and this guy can dance.
Really?
He's kind of a little bit older. He's got beard. He's a little thick in the middle, but man, he dance.
Does he dance with a bear? Is there a dancing bear?
No, he's dancing by himself. There are a couple of other park rangers that start off dancing, and then he just kind of comes dancing into the picture and blows them all away.
Wow. Hey, does the...
Again, just like our band.
Uh-huh. Were you there, Rick?
Hey, I was the sober one, buddy. I can remember all of them.
You probably were the only sober person in that band back then.
Yeah, well, for the first couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Didn't make any difference.
Hey, I want to go back to the talk of heaven.
The dog in heaven, okay.
You know, church does not give any particular definition of what you get when you get to heaven. I just have a hard time with the notion that you're going to have like a little cottage where you live and that someone will deliver the milk every day and you get your newspaper. I mean, I got to think it's not that.
That's heaven for you?
That's the way life is right now.
I'm setting the bar pretty low.
Well, what are you wanting to do? Swing a 20-pound sledge?
No.
That's not the other end of the spectrum, Rick. All time. Just do that all time.
Well, the Muslims
sounds to me like I'm going to be spending all my time walking the family dogs.
You got a few dogs in your history too, don't you, Alec?
Oh, yeah, a few.
And you have a bunch of them. Muslim heaven, you get like 20 virgins, don't you?
Well, if you commit suicide for the betterment of the religion, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Like the guys walked out and went twice in heaven, looked bewildered because he didn't know where all the virgins were.
You got a kamikaze to get that, yeah.
Pass.
No. Nope.
Besides which, I mean, after...
You're gone. You don't know what happened. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, after about the first couple of weeks, yeah, they wouldn't be anymore, would they?
Not. Well, you'd hope not.
Of course, if you're going up as a 77-year-old man, Greg.
Man, I'm getting older every time you talk. Started out at 65, now I'm up at 77.
Well, I know you ain't 65.
No. I'm the 70, but that's fine. That's the one that's the scariest one. Nothing else hit me as hard as it going turning 70.
70?
Yeah, that's old.
But it wasn't fatal, was it?
No, it wasn't. Nothing really changed.
But your dad, how old was Jim?
Greg.
88.
Greg.
Well, how old is your dad?
Greg.
Dad's 90.
Outside looking in at whether or not you've changed when you turn 70. Oh, yeah.
I know.
You should see the video, man.
See, Allie, that's what I missed about you. You keep me honest.
Nothing changed. Oh, my God.
It didn't. Still fall asleep at 8 o'clock, yeah.
No, what I'm saying is Jim lived to be pretty old.
Yep.
And your mom's like pushing 100, isn't she?
94, yeah.
Okay, well, she's made it into
But your dad's pushing, or he is 90, and wearing a picking sack, climbing a ladder 3 months out of the year, out of the year. Making cider, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I don't see that happening for me.
I don't see it, no.
No, since you never did any of those things in your younger days, why would you survive to do it later?
You know, I have to say, that you throw that out constantly. The other brothers about how little work I did in the orchard when my remembrance of the orchard was that I worked in it all the time and that it floated because of me.
Brothers talk about that, they're all in agreement, man.
Rick, the one time I worked with you in the packing shed, I do not have that impression of you at all. You were walking around like a boss in there.
Are you kidding me? Packing shed?
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, I was the taper. I did a ton of taping of 4-pound bags of apples back when they did 10.
I didn't see that when I was in there.
That's because you weren't ever working in the packing shed.
They were three. Oh, Rick,
I will say that Tim did. I do remember Tim working in the packing shed.
Come in
after threes, not 10-4s.
10-3s, yeah.
12-3s.
They were 12-3s. But we started with 10-4s. You're too young to remember
that. Did you just fall down? Are you okay?
No, my phone just fell down. I've got a rickety stand here.
Do you have that? You have one of those buttons around your neck that you can press if you go down?
Oh, not yet. Thank you for asking, though.
All right. Let me ask you this, Greg.
I can't tell you how much I miss you.
When you go up a set of stairs, do you take two steps?
Two at a time. I remember that. Okay. At the Y here in Edwardsville, the guy set of stairs to go work out. Might as well just take two at a time.
When he goes down, he takes about five or six.
At a time? Yeah. Wow. Your dad's still taking two at a time, right?
Well, we asked him, at what age do you stop taking two steps at a time, two stairs at a time. He said, he'll let you know when he quits.
Yep. He probably still hasn't quit.
He's a liar.
Wow.
He's not taking two steps at a time anymore. I've seen him walk, no matter what he says.
He's a liar.
Mm. Well, he's a Ringhausen brother, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Well, he's the only one alive, isn't he?
I found out that Dad's nickname was it the Army or high school? Was that he was the instigator?
It was in the military, and his nickname was the Agitator.
That's it. So there.
Yeah. Well, now I know where you get it at, Allie.
Yeah. I don't agitate people.
What's so cool about that is that it implies that you're causing trouble and then just kind of walking away from it.
That's
AKA Allie.
You mean like at the ballpark? Rick told that story.
At the ballpark. I haven't told that story lately, though. We're at the baseball game, Cardinal baseball game, sitting in the bleachers, right? And some guy
to watch a ball game.
It is. Some guy in front of us is already well lubricated, and he's over by the rail taunting the warm-up pitchers for the other team.
We were right above the bullpen for the opposing team.
Oh, that's a good place.
It was. And the usher, one of the ushers come down, tell the guy to knock it off, go back to his seat. So he knocks it off and goes back to his seat and goes back down and does it again, you know, because he's, like I said, he's liquored up good and proper. And now a more...
He's with a group of people.
Yeah, there's a group of them, and they're all happy. Now, a more important usher comes down and explains to him in small words what's going to happen if he doesn't leave the other team alone to go back to his seat. So he, you know, he's kind of
the enforcer. The enforcer.
Yeah. You know, gotcha, big guy.
Yeah. So he's kind of sitting there squirming around, and it's me and Alan and our wives sitting behind him in a row. At which point, Alan leans over, taps him on the shoulder, and goes, "Hey, you paid for your ticket. You're going to let him talk to you like that?" And then Alan gets up and goes to the bathroom, you know, because the guy's girlfriend spins around and gives him like the dirtiest look you've ever seen in your whole life. And of course, the guy plows right back down the aisle to the bullpen and starts tormenting him again. Alan comes back from the bathroom. He says, "Where is everyone?" I said, "The ushers threw them all out."
and they're still looking for Alan yet today.
And the girlfriend was asking about you.
I think what I said to him is, you paid for your ticket. You got just as much right to express your views as anybody else in this stadium. Now get back down there.
I believe that's exactly what, almost word for word, the way it played.
Wow.
That's when the girlfriend got mad. And then,
oh, yeah. Because, you know, it's funny. Girlfriends, you know, she's been around this guy and he's been drinking her. You know, their whole relationship.
I'm sure.
So she knew how that was going to play as soon as Alan put the bug in his ear.
It was gone. They might as well pack up. It was coming.
It could just easily have been Brad.
Oh, yeah, I agree. We never did have an opportunity when we took Bruce to a hockey game or indoor soccer. We went to those things, too.
Indoor soccer?
Yeah.
Indoor soccer? Where'd you go to indoor soccer?
The Checker Dome.
No kidding.
And we had
soccer?
We had the second row seat.
The crowd say, "You want to play tonight?"
Yeah, pretty much. So it was indoor soccer. I think it's St. Louis Steamers was the name of it.
Remember them? Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember
so,
that, too.
I mean, we were in the second row, man.
Are you sure that was Steamers? You sure it wasn't the Spirit of St. Louis?
No, that was the Basketball Association, the American Basketball Association.
Yeah. That didn't go anywhere either.
No. And so we get there, and they're just warming up, and Bruce stands up and spills his beer over this lady's mink fur.
Who wears mink fur to a soccer game?
Oh, it was high class in the front row, but the second row was trash. You know, anybody could be there. So we didn't last long. It was over.
The thing is, you know, Bruce is probably the one most able to take care of himself of the seven Ringhausen brothers. So I mean, he can probably get away with a little bit more of that than.
Yeah, we didn't. Until
like, say, Alan or me.
Back then, they didn't have security. They just had the cops. So we were escorted out, and the game hadn't even started.
Is that the only place you've ever been kicked out of?
No, Bruce, we had a hockey game. I had to go get Tim. We didn't have seats together because it was very popular, and we had Tim and his friend sitting, and I had a guy with me, and then Bruce had another gentleman with him. And pretty soon, we'd see the cops coming out to get Bruce and his friend. And they escorted him out. So I saw Bruce, said, "You got to go." Yep. So I had to go get Tim. What do you do now?
So do you know, in sitcoms every so often, you'll see that like stadiums have like a lockup, like a little stadium jail.
No, you go to the police station.
Really?
Yeah. We had to go to the police station.
They don't just throw you out.
And the other guy.
Owners have the authority to put people in cages, Rick.
Think baseball, they did. I think a lot of them old stadiums. I mean, you went to Camden Yards or Kaminsky Park back in the day. They had a room in the bottom of the stadium where you waited the game out until it was over.
But no, we were there in the police station, and the cops said we're just going to let. He got kicked out for smoking in the place, you know. So they just wanted to get him out of there. And so here, you just got to sign this release that you're not going to come back after us, and we'll get you out of here. And there's. We're sitting outside waiting for this. Well, the other six guys that went, or four guys. And the other guy that was with Bruce says, I can't read or write. Bruce goes, sign that damn thing. Get out of here, man. Don't start pulling that crap. So we finally signed it and got out. But
when you got out, did you go up to Bruce and say, hey, you paid for your ticket. Aren't you going back in?
We just got Bruce in the car and took him home. He's gave him a six pack and he was happy.
I can't believe the six pack got him home.
Well, didn't, but that's all we had left.
Wow. I can't remember ever being thrown out of anywhere.
No.
You can't remember is the answer, the key words in that sentence.
I remember being up in Wisconsin on a fishing trip and got thrown out of the bluegill bar.
Wait a minute, the bluegill bar?
Bluegill bar, yeah.
Okay. I remember going to Wisconsin with like the 701 Club, the group of young men that that you hung around with. And I, of course, was the one that didn't drink, so I drove the van up there. We had a van that we borrowed from Carbert Miller. It didn't have seats or nothing in it. So we go up there, and the boys at that time, Wisconsin's drinking age was only 18, so they're all going to go drink in a bar for real for the first time, right? Yeah. So we pick this little bar in this town in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and go in there, and it's a dive. There's like two old barfly women and an old guy in there. And so the boys play pool for a while, and finally they get to asking whether there's any place in town that has more action than what they got there. So this guy, Warren, I believe his name, says, oh, yeah, and he tells about some other bar. So now we're going to go to some other bar, and we all go out and pile in the van, and Warren piles in with us. So, and he's giving us directions on how to get to this bar. And he's giving us directions. You know, I'm driving, and we're going out into the country, and we're clearly going away from town, you know, and I don't know if there's a bar out there or not. You know, we drive and drive, you know, and I'm getting antsy. And all the guys in the van, they're all like whooping and hollering because they're all feeling good. And Warren is up in front with his arm around me and the other guy in the front seat giving us directions. So finally, one of the boys is yelling that he's got to go to the bathroom in a bad way. So we pull over in next to a cornfield, and everybody pours out to go to the bathroom. And then they all pour back in, and we leave Warren there. drove back home.
Wow.
Found his life body 2 days later.
Well, you know, at the time.
Statue of limitations, guys.
at the time, you know, the other guy who's my age, Joe, who would go nameless, is telling me, you know, Warren's going to take us out and rob us and kill us. You know, of course, Warren was just—it's just an old barfly. But you know, I'm listening to Joe Steckel, or didn't say Joe, Joe S, telling me, you know, we're going to get killed. We're going to get killed. So you know, it made sense to me to leave Warren out there in the dark.
No, it drove off. Yeah. Don't know about Warren.
Ah, like no. Alan said, statute of limitations, Ram.
No, I think I might be crazy, but I think we're out of time.
Yeah, we are.
I think we're out of time, too. Greg, it's been
good
quite
to see
nice
you
having you back.
It was nice. Good catching up with you. Telling about all of our drunken times, except for Rick.
Except me. I was the good boy.
Yeah. But he experienced other people's drunken times.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. All right. I guess see you later from Rick Gator.
Greg Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Dem's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Greg Gator, and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Except no substitutes, because there aren't any.